welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Well, praise God. Thank you very much, guys. It's very precious doing a dedication and baptisms all on the same day. It shows some of the journey of life. You guys can stay there for a minute if you're comfortable enough. Right, so just before I say something, I'm going to need a volunteer in a minute. All right, Fabian. Just before we ask the baptism guys to come up, and they're going to say a quick word about why they're getting baptized, a quick word from me, and for which my kind volunteer, Fabian, is going to come up and help me. Right. Now, just stand there and look interested. Try not to yawn or frown. You're very good at frowning. Yeah. No, interested. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Skills. You saw him here first when he's on the big billboard. Anyway, how many of you have ever done archery? You obviously enjoyed your experience. That's a surprising number of people have done archery. One little known secret is that I used to teach archery to children and teenagers many years ago. Bet you didn't know that one. There's always a surprising thing to take out of the cupboard, isn't there? So, and when I used to teach archery, there are a few things that you've got to get right. So first of all, you've got to stand like this. Let's assume you're going to shoot the target over there rather than anybody out there. So your feet need to be about shoulder width apart and standing nice and comfortable, okay? I don't actually have a bow here because health and safety took it off me. Okay, that's good. Shoulders relaxed, okay? And when you go to draw your bow, you've got to be on firm ground. You've got to take a good stance. Because obviously in an archery competition, you're going to be shooting at a target over there. So just imagine there's a target over there, Fabian, and take a shot. What would you do? Just act it out. Okay? Yeah, it probably would have been good to take an arrow first. So yeah. So you hit, they're usually in front of you on the ground here. This is not Robin Hood in a quiver on your back. So you take one out of the ground there, or out of your hole. A whole circle. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Oh dear. All right. Okay, that wasn't bad, was it? Give him a round of applause for that. But I can guarantee you probably completely missed your target. All right, because you did it. So. All right. One thing you've got to do, if you're going to hit a target, you've got to look at it. All right. But also, you've got to make sure. So you're standing like this, yes? You pick your arrow out of the ground, and you've got your bow here in this hand. All right? So you hold your bow out, and we're not going to go into the full details, so don't worry, Ron. Or maybe we could have done this, and then you'd have enjoyed archery. You never know. So your arrow rests on your bow. All right? So, okay. So if it's on the other side, it will fall off. So you've got to know what you're doing. One side looks identical to the other, but if it's on the wrong side, it's going to fall off. Or you might just keep it there until you shoot, and then instead of hitting the wall over there, we'd probably kill Karina. Okay, because it will shoot off in that direction. Don't worry, they're imaginary arrows. She's ducking now. You look dangerous, Fabian. Right, so you put your arrow in. It's resting on your bow. So your bow, actually, when you're drawing back, is tilted. Okay, because that helps you to not have it fall off. We won't worry about what this hand is doing, just hold the bow for now. But it is nice and straight, because to get a good shot, you've got to be able to pull back as far as you can. So, oh, I just walked in front of the arrow, that's never done. Okay, that arm needs to be really straight, holding the bow. This one here, he's got a couple of fingers on that string, not around the arrow, which he's knocked on, and then you pull back. Looking down your arm, down the arrow, at the target, as far as you can. It's actually, can be quite hard. If you've got the right bow for you, it's an effort. To hold it like that, you probably start wobbling like this. Okay? And then, without the bow wobbling, without you wobbling, you've got to stand really, really firm. You let go, and the arrow goes, stoomf, and shoots at the target.
You have to do it quick, don't you? Because if you hold on.
No, you can do it like this sort of speed, slowly, shoot, like that. Okay? You usually bring your arrow right back here to your eye, because if you've got it down here, you can't actually see where it's going to go. So you bring it right back to here, and you look down the arrow right at the bullseye and let go. That'll do. Okay, bullseye. Excellent shot. Congratulations. Okay, you can sit down for a minute. Why am I telling you about archery? Well, because the thing about archery is it's something that everybody knows a little bit about. Some of you have even had a go. And following Jesus is a bit like that. Just about everybody knows a little bit about it, and some people have even had a go. But the thing is, unless you do it correctly, you're not going to hit your target. And the target in following Jesus is to be walking with him and to live in the promises of God. Right, because there was this chap called Caleb. Now, we're talking back a couple of thousand years ago, 3,000 years ago, when the times of Moses. And one of the guys with Moses was called Caleb. Heard of Caleb? Let me just shoot. No. Caleb was with Moses, when they came to the edge of the promised land, they were part of the group that went and explored, him and Joshua. But when they came back from exploring this land, the promised land that God had given them, two of them said, we can do this because God's with us. The rest of them said, it's too big. There's too much to do. There's giants in the land. They weren't, but they said they were. They were just big guys. There's giants in the land. It's impossible. And as a result, the whole community didn't go into that promised land. They wandered in a desert for 40 years. Now, God being God looked after them. He cared for them. But they stayed in the desert and they didn't take hold of what God has for them. You see, following Jesus is like shooting an arrow. You can't just do this. You're not going to hit the target. You've got to take hold of what God tells you to do. You've got to do what he says, and he enables you by grace. And so you need to stand firm. You stand firm on the word of God. And you take aim, and you look at your target. Well, you're not shooting him, fortunately, but the target is Jesus. That's where we're going. And because Caleb clung to the promise about the promised land, God said of him, well, my servant Caleb, because he follows me wholeheartedly, I will give him the land he went into, and his descendants shall inherit it. You see, because he was wholehearted, because he stood and he aimed and he took care and he listened and he learned and didn't just think, oh, I'll give it a go, he was able to take hold of all the good promises of God. And the guys getting baptized today, getting baptized is one of those things about standing right before God. Because it's one of the things that it says in Scripture. Right at the beginning of the church, a whole huge crowd had gathered and they were listening to Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. So this is after Jesus has died, risen from the dead, and it's the first couple of months, really, of church life, if you like. And he's preaching to this huge crowd about how Jesus didn't come to judge them. He didn't come to punish them. He didn't come to give them a load of rules that they absolutely must follow. But he came to restore them to a relationship with God the Father. And he said this, Peter, to the crowd. Because the crowd said, well, what do we have to do then? How do we learn to fire correctly? And Peter said this. Each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, then you will receive the Holy Spirit, replied Peter. Now, in the Bible, the word sin, it means, in Greek, to miss the mark. So what Peter says to them is, you've missed the mark. Because he was speaking to Jewish people. They were religious people. They knew about God. But Peter was saying, but you know these things, but you've missed the mark. You haven't been taught how to aim at the target correctly. You haven't taken a firm stance, and you haven't put everything into it. You haven't followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Because following religion or legalism always leads to trouble. It can be Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, liberalism, conservatism, being a Labour Party, it could be a communist, it can be whatever group you want, but if you just reduce it to a set of rules and regulations, it brings despair and unhappiness everywhere, as we've tragically seen just so recently, through people blindly following what they think are rules. But that can happen with anything. We can't be smug as anybody who's a Christian here and think, oh, we're okay. Because in the name of Christianity, certainly not in the name of Jesus, bad things have been done as well. By people who just decided it was a bunch of rules and imposed lots and lots of rules on people. Jesus said, I haven't come to abolish those rules, but I've come to fulfill them. I've come to fulfill them with grace, to enable you to live out of choice the way God has called you to live. I've come to show you how to aim at the target, how to stand, how to draw back the bow accurately and look down that arrow and fire. Oops. Sorry. So, Peter said you must repent because you've missed the mark. You're not hitting the target, and be baptized. So these guys, as they come forward today, that's exactly what they're doing. Because following Jesus isn't about going to church. It isn't about attending lots of meetings. First and foremost, it's about a relationship with God. But to have a relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're in community. That's what the Trinity is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as a Christian, you can't do it on your own because you're trying to do something even God doesn't do. Sometimes people say to me, oh, I don't need to be part of a church. Well, even God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit feels the need to be part of a community. So we are called to be in a community. And yeah, we're family. How many people have ever had arguments in a family? How many people have ever had arguments in a partnership or a marriage? You know, my wife and I, we love each other 100%. We're totally in love with one another. But we have had the odd disagreement. Usually very odd. Usually I'm the odd one. You know, that's normal. People say, oh, I can't cope with church. I can't cope with, you know, people that disagree with one another. That's life. But hopefully, in God, we can find resolution. Or, at the very worst, we say, well, I don't quite agree with what you say, Shona, but we're family. Let's have a cup of tea together. Let's have a bun and chat about the things we do agree on. You know, oh, I wish the world would grow up like this. There's always going to be things we disagree on. Liberalism scares me today because it seems to feel everyone's got to think exactly like they think. And they're losing the very thing that liberalism is, which is allowing people to think what they want to think. So, let's invite these candidates to forward. But just before, I also want to throw it out there to you. Have you missed the mark? Have you thought about following God? This morning could be the day. This morning could be the day that you say, I repent. I'm going to hit that target in future. I'm going to turn from doing things my own way and live God's way. This could be that morning. Or maybe you have said yes to God and you haven't yet been baptized. Why ever not? Why ever not? It's there, right at the beginning. Ultimately, what it does is it says, God's more important than I am. And that's the challenge in all of this. I will allow God to be more important than I have in this world. There is something bigger than me. Yeah? And that's what some people can't cope with. I understand that. But that's what coming to Jesus is. You are bigger than me. You are worth more than me, so I submit to you. The wonderful thing is, he throws his arms around you and says, welcome home, child. Everything I have is yours. Let's do this together. So if that's you today, when we ask the baptism candidates to come forward, why don't you come forward as well? Two things to come forward. One, because today you're going to commit your life to Jesus. And maybe that's what you're going to do today, or you want to do everything. You're going to commit your life to Jesus and get baptized down on the beach later today. Okay, or you are a Christian and you want to get baptized, but you haven't given your name in yet. We'll do that. We'll do that because this is straight from Scripture. We're not inventing something. It's saying, God's more important. I'm ready to fire and hit the target. Amen? Right, so whether you're one of those people or whether you're somebody that's getting baptized, just come along the front, stand up here.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.